Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blind Bargains, episode 32 of The Cast. The Cast. I'm Joe Steinkamp here with my good friend JJ. Hello, JJ. How are you doing this fine evening of football weekend? Like, first weekend of football. Yeah.
My fantasy team is doing well. There's at least that. The Kalamazoo Crush is about to win week one. Other than that, doing well. And once again, seeing that our news lineup gets blown up about 20 minutes before the show is recorded. But hey, I'm okay with that, too.
Never happens. Never.
That's all right. That means we're current on the news, so it's okay.
Ooh, current is very good, considering that we had to skip the news last week for that amazing conversation with Shelley Brisbane and Buddy Brannon on Apple and all the Apple stuff. The Kool-Aid is worn off. People are starting to come back to Earth, I think, and some reality is starting to hit, and I'm thinking so are the pre-orders about to hit on your credit card. So those of you who are about to enjoy, we salute you, and we also salute our friends over at Hims.
Your needs are our solutions. Thank you so much, as always, Hims, for sponsoring the BB Cast this week. We got a couple cool things going on. It's a review and tip show this week, including a Doctor Who game, Joe?
No. How did that get there? What?
Yes. It's a legitimate, but what is it? It's accessible.
Yes, there's an actual update to that very nice, fine app.
And a user submission from Aaron Spears, a new contributor to the cast, demonstrating an infrared talking thermometer. So that'll be coming up a little bit later, along with Sound Off. The last word, Siri intervenes. If you have not heard this clip, listen. Stay tuned to this. It's pretty, pretty funny.
Hey, Siri. Oh, wait, no, I don't want to say that because I probably just set somebody's stuff off. You know, Tom over at DTNS has had a lot of moratoriums about how he can't say words like okay and or Google next to them, or using the words Echo or Alexa, because it's setting off people's devices when they're listening to podcasts. It's kind of funny. You know what was really funny, for me at least? The people who have downloaded 100 Bard books, but yet were absolutely panicked that Bard was down.
Oh, yeah. You know, this was the big news. Wow. Well, right before Apple, and this was probably the dominated the news for the first half of this month, but the Bard website was down again, this time after a scheduled maintenance window. So it went down, came back up for a day, and then they realized that the entire building, there was some sort of piece of equipment that was broken in a building in D.C., the James Madison building, and Bard was down for an entire week or more. So it's back up now, and people can relax. But what is there to be learned from this? Is it, I mean, first of all, yeah, there's definitely some people that are going to get blamed. You shouldn't have any system, government or not, down for an entire week. I mean, that's definitely not a good thing, but of course, on our end, you know, you want to make sure you do have at least a few books ready to go, I guess.
For some people, a few dozen books ready to go. It just all depends how fast that they can roll through them. You know, this usually happens when Bard goes down for maintenance, but this was an extremely long period of time for some people who do use this as kind of their go-to way of entertainment. You know, they read a lot of Bard books. And I can see how this could have caused some consternation. At the same time, some people learned a bit more about Audible and Gutenberg Project and or a lot of other places to find wonderful audio content that are out there. I myself actually have a couple of Audible books that I'm looking for. And you know, I almost forgot Bookshare as well. A lot of people are coming over.
And the new TuneIn service. Some of you may have tried that. We mentioned that a couple of weeks ago.
Did you know Spotify even has podcasts now? I didn't even know they just recently added
Spotify
a podcast.
Has all sorts of weird stuff. There's like audiobooks and nature sound, anything that's ever been on a CD. You can buy
somebody
some weird stuff.
Licensed it over there.
Well, yeah, they just, whatever they can find. Yep.
We could use Seeing Eye to help us find it. There was a recent update to the Seeing Eye app. And, you know, like KNFB Reader, there's a lot of power in them, thar trials.
Version 2.0 of the Sendero Seeing Eye GPS, including user points of interest. That's always one of those features that's most requested and for good reason. And, you know, probably the biggest miss out of the first version. So you don't have to go into Blind Square and do your points of interest, your user points, and then go into Seeing Eye to try to navigate.
I've never done this. What are you talking about? I have never done such a thing.
No. Well, it's all in one now, as it should be. And you can mark the front door of a building, for instance, or some spot in the middle of the field, or your car, you know, if you're driving and riding with someone and try to help them find it later. You always can be the hero. They're like, I know where the car is. Let's go. That's always cool. I tell you what doesn't work. We're kind of joking around. I was in a train and, you know, we're going to go get some drinks in the cafe. And like, hey, I'll mark my seat. But the train's moving.
Fixed so point. Yes. What you need is an eye beacon at that point. That's what you need.
Yeah, right. Australia, too. Welcome to Seeing Eye. Was it the Guide Dog Foundation over there? I want to make sure I'm getting that correctly. But yeah, one of the groups over there sponsored it, kind of like Seeing Eye did here.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
So now you can, the net result of that is it's now available down under.
And now you can mark all those things that might actually kill you in Australia, because there seems to be a great number of things that can actually do you bodily harm in that lovely continent I wish to visit one day. I really do, actually. Ever since I watched Paul Hogan as a kid in the 70s through public television, before he was Crocodile Dundee, I was always interested in Australia.
Guide Dogs NSW is... New South Wales, I would guess that's what that stands for. And that's who sponsored it over in Australia. And of course, we link to that in all our stories on our website.
New Firefox? Could they? Could they be one of the few places?
We can't.
No, we can't.
Without jailbreaking your iPhone.
No, I don't advise that at all. No.
But they can use Firefox on your iPhone. What?
Yep, it seems that Marco Z kicked out some more information about the new accessibility features coming to Firefox on your iPhone as a browser. You know, I'm not sure how many people will use it as an alternative browser. I have Chrome, and that works with VoiceOver. I don't really use it a whole bunch, and I live in the Google universe. But I guess if you share extensions or share your tabs and want to be asynchronous across your devices, and you don't do it through Safari, this is a good way for Windows users who don't have a Mac to, you know, carry over information through Firefox Sync one day. No, wink, right. Wink.
Well, one of the big things about how it works on the iPhone, whether it's Chrome or Firefox, is that you are still, in essence, using Safari's web engine. And what this means is, because of, you know, the way Apple controls web content, Firefox for iOS or Chrome for iOS or whatever other browser is still ultimately has Safari bits in it. So that's good and that's accessible. That's bad in that some of the bugs that might be in Safari's web implementation with VoiceOver are going to be in whatever other browser browser's implementation. But like you said, if you happen to be using Firefox on Windows or Chrome on Windows, these give you ways, which you can't do with Safari, to be cross-platform iOS, Android, Windows, Mac, and have your bookmarks and settings and everything.
Whatever device you decide to pick up. Agreed. And it's a good thing you mentioned about that, because you might be able to do almost the same thing one day with VoiceStream. VoiceStream has come over to Android and is now available for your reading pleasure. I had seen, last time I had looked, and this is, I think, last Wednesday, so the day of the Apple event last week, there were already 100 downloads of VoiceStream from the Google Play market.
Oh, that's good. Because, you know, $9.99. It's a paid app, yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to follow that. Because on Android, of course, we do get to see these numbers, and we don't generally on the iPhone.
Right.
Now, of course, VoiceStream is an app that's marketed to blind and sighted people. It's a reader in pretty much any form. You can have it be all audio. You can have it be audio and visual. You can do it in a whole bunch of different ways. So any way that you might want to digest a book, it will do it for you. I'm trying to see how many... we're still between the 100 to 500 at this point.
Yeah, okay, so we're still in that kind of range.
It will go. Yeah, it's very new at this point. But you can do all sorts of different formats. I highly recommend it. Anybody who's used it on the iPhone will tell you it's probably one of the most indispensable apps out there.
So we're back to that age-old question. If Bard is on Android, if VoiceStream is on Android, KNFB Reader is coming to Android, Nearby Explorer is already on Android, is there an app in the iOS system that we as blind users look at as a must-have that is not on the Android platform?
I have nothing major. I mean, there's little apps here and there, like Dark Skies comes to mind. But there's nothing as a major, you know, deal-breaker app that's really comes to mind as far as, you know, Tap-Tap-C is there, the other object recommendation, you know, there's currency apps. It might not be the same app, but there are currency
Bookshare
apps.
Bookshare is there with Go Read, so...
Bookshare is there on its own, so if you don't have to get VoiceStream, although it does have Bookshare integration if you want to go that route as well. And the one thing about VoiceStream on Android, just getting back to that for a second, is, of course, you can use all of your Android TTS voices. You don't have to necessarily buy them for VoiceStream.
That is true.
If you
true.
Already have them, you can use it. Now, if you're doing some of the highlighting and visual type stuff, it is noted that they will have specific TTS voices that will work better with that. The indexing on the built-in ones won't work as well. So there's that, if that's a feature that's of interest to you. But
no, you it's can a nice use, upsell. I like that.
There you go. You know, I could have VoiceStream with which voice if I wanted.
just in time or for not. Halloween, you could have that start no, reading yeah. like...
It never seems to go away.
Sleepy Hollow, start reading Ichabod Crane with that voice. That would be really, really
but,
funny.
But, you know, that's a good question for... What do you guys think, listeners? Is there any other... What's your must-have app that... If you were to switch to a different type of phone that you really would be missing. So it'd be interesting to
I highly see. Expect Jeffree Star will let us have it on Twitter with just that very philosophy. And don't forget, Inclusive Android is out there for you people who want to learn more about what other apps work very well with Android and TalkBack and what have you. Don't listen to us two curmudgeons who've been using it for 5 years.
Wow. We've
talked about Android. This month is a 5-year anniversary for Jay and I and Anna. Who did one of the original talks about Android accessibility ages ago. I was sporting the LG Ally. Remember that phone?
Oh, so that means man. I just bought my... So I've had an Android for 5 years, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a little crazy. Let me go back to the current. So, of course, there was this little Apple event last week, and just a couple of little quick follow-ups on that. There's lots of Apple info in the September 15 Access World. Of course, I'd like to bring your attention to that. It's our good friends over at AFB. And you can check out what's latest in there. And if you didn't check out 31 last week, well, there's just a bit of Apple in there, too. So
just a smidge. And also, Apple Viz is getting their iOS 9 podcasts and the like. So probably about the time that you're downloading this, you're probably downloading the update to iOS 9. Head on over to Apple Viz and see our friends over there to see what their blog post on their how-tos and how to do things with the audio.
Yeah.
They're just going to have a lot of content. And Shelly's got her new book, too. So don't forget about Shelly's book.
I'm looking, by the way, Office for Macs 2016, a first look at accessibility. I'm going to have to read that one because that's one I've been wondering Alex, about and heard some rumblings about. That's an Access World.
No, Sarah Alani. Sarah Alani has a book coming out too, I think, for El Capitan. I almost forgot that one.
Lots of resources coming out. So be sure to follow some of that and then let us know your favorites. The iHabilitation people over in Canada are updating their screenshots, their tactile screenshots for iOS 9.
Yay! And Michael Doyce started a podcast, so he's got some stuff going on over there. I'm sure he's going to talk about iOS 9 and how it connects to that very expensive accessory. The watch.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, which is a watch 2.0 thing should be coming soon. Jeez, I've already forgotten when that was supposed to drop. But I know what also is about to drop. I mean, imminent, like right before we walked in here, HIMS has an update for some of its devices.
Yes. HIMS update BrailleSense 8.5. Now, the last one was 8.2, so this is a big jump for them. Now, this just came through our desk right before the show, so I haven't even found the entire release notes yet. But it looks like there is finally there's a nice little NLS bar download tool now, which is definitely welcome. Of course, there's been one for Bookshare for a while. Some improvements for PowerPoint, improvements for YouTube. There is a big, big list, and by the time... this show comes out, there will be a release notes thing that we'll definitely link to and have it up on our site. So you can see what's all the new stuff for the Braille senses, whichever one you have. Now, of course, the voice senses were stopped at 8.1, but if you have any Braille sense, just about, you can get these updates and HIMS never does charge for them. So I got to say that, you know, of the note taker companies, and yes, you know, it's full worth disclosure. Yes, you know, HIMS is a sponsor of us, but... You know, of the note takers that are out there, if you're going that route, HIMS is the one that does seem to be putting the most updates out. And as far as, you know, a lot of current stuff, you know, YouTube and Dropbox and Twitter and things like that. So, you know, that's what I'll say as far as the note takers. And again, another free update from them.
The update of 8.1, Windows 8.1 is probably either happening for you or sitting in your sys tray waiting to be happening because Windows 10 is, wow, almost 2 months old, and it's already on 5% of all Windows devices. It's already passed macOS in the number of install bases, and certainly it's passed Vista by a mile. And I have revisited the Windows 10 article I did in July, this time not as many links, but just as fun to read and a lot more of information about what's going on with the Windows Insider builds and what we could be looking for with Threshold 2, which is the code name for the update to the Windows operating system in October. But in the meantime, I got a link here from blindbargains.com where I go over some more information available for Windows, like Cortana, what you can do with Cortana and how things have changed. Also at the very bottom, there are some fantastic articles on the history of the start menu and that the original menu designer can't believe that they held on to some of these things for so long, even in the latest iteration of Windows. Along with that is Dolphin announced that their update for Windows 10 is now live. They've come out of public beta and are pushing their bits for their latest version of their operating system. And JAWS 17 also has a podcast out over at the good old Freedom Scientific website where they're talking about some of the updates that are going to be better for Office.
I see a claim here.
16.
Uh-huh. On the Supernova, and I think they're correct. Uh-huh. They say at this point, Supernova 15 is the first and only magnifier and combined screen reader with support for the newly released Windows 10. I think that because Zoom Text is still on its way and Magic is still on its way. Is that
you have to remember that there used to be Lunar and HAL. Those are gone, so it's just Supernova.
Right.
Right? JAWS and Magic are still sort of considered separate. There's no Gematic.
So they're more going saying
Moz or
the first,
something like
they're
that.
The only combined screen reader magnifier.
Right. And we don't have a integrated product yet from AI Squared, although Jeremy Curry has said that that's coming
soon.
Definitely
said it's coming.
Yeah. So we've got that on the forewind. So yeah, they did kind of sort of get first mover advantage in this direct area.
Is this how every carrier has the biggest 4G network?
Yes, that's correct. We have the most coverage. You can go with no roaming over here with your magnifier and screen reader. Yes, that's kind of the way it is. It's PR speak for people like us mostly. But I mean, that's certainly a thing that's out there.
It's still good
for
that it's
Supernova
there.
To say. And, you know, they would say also that they engineered the way that their screen magnifier works a little differently. I had a good conversation with Dolphin back at CSUN, and they kind of explained to me how their approach is a little different than the other guys in how they integrate or don't integrate with Windows and provide their magnification.
So now you can get Supernova. They changed the names here, too. Supernova Magnifier, Supernova Magnifier in Speech, and Supernova Magnifier in Screen Reader. So I guess it's the level of screen reading you want in your screen reader, because, you know, as Zoom Text and some of the others go, some of the low vision people especially don't want a whole screen reader. They just want a few things read.
In fact, they probably want to disable it or just want mouse reading, so when the mouse is directly over something it reads under the mouse, or they probably broke their control key trying to make speech shut up.
Known issues. Oh, of course. Uh-huh. Microsoft's Edge browser is currently inaccessible and not supported.
Not a surprise there. And nope. NVDA just recently had their update with some of the Edge working better. But even Edge itself is actually adding some more HTML compliance and doing a little better at that. They're going to support a lot more stuff. Look at the Apple keynote last week. They were able to run the same codec that Apple runs. So that's how Windows 10 people were able to watch the Apple stream on a Windows machine. Heresy. I know.
Well, I noticed if you were to get Supernova or any other screen reader for Windows 10, you probably would be using it on better sounding speech synthesizers than what we had 20, 30 years ago. We've linked to a thing from BBC Radio 4, a YouTube vid.
Thanks to Victor Sarin for tweeting this. This is where I nabbed it from.
Yeah, some very early speech synthesizers.
That and probably Andre Louis has installed on a machine somewhere.
One of these people, one of you guys probably has many of these. I have is calculators. So. I don't have much else.
It's got like a Spectrum Z or something and some kind of crazy speech on it, or, you know, a couple of Amigas laying around. Definitely. It's always cool to hear these things. And years ago, Patrick and I did a thing for an April Fool's joke years ago. And we bandied about speech synthesizers and quality of speech synthesizers for this thing until like 3 a.m. on March 31st. And then we finally settled on something, which I think is just strange and alien. And to this day, people still ask us what that audio actually was. And I know, and Patrick knows, but I don't think anybody else knows. But if they know, they can tell us if they can go back and find that clip. Patrick might even have it lying around that he could just
I'm sure he does.
Probably.
The eloquence on the Mac was still one of my favorites. it was a sloppy demo, but it was still amazing. The iPhone
was one of the better ones. Yes, that was.
Right. It was done there too.
Yep, that was a good one. That was very, very good. Oh,
well, that's right. Man. It was eloquence on the iPhone, and then it was the Alex on NVDA.
Yes, Alex on NVDA. That's what I was thinking of. April Fool's past almost makes you wonder what we might do ourselves one April Fool's.
I don't even know. I couldn't even.
Many months away. We still have so many more things to get through to get there. Namely, a review, another mention of a review, a tip, sound off, and last word all here on Blind Bargains Cast 32. Stay tuned.
Hims wants you to meet eMods, the first portable reading, writing, near, and distance video magnifier. The advanced and pro models also have optical character recognition. Use eBot to read a smart board, papers on your desk, or any other printed materials. Connect eBot through its built-in Wi-Fi network to your iPad or other tablet, your Mac or PC, or plug in any monitor you like. eBot is lightweight and has ample battery life to get you through your busy day. Find out more about eBot by calling Hims at 888-520-4467 or by visiting us at www.hims-inc.com. Hims, your needs are our solutions.
Hello everybody, my name is Aaron Spears and I'm going to do a short demonstration of a talking infrared thermometer I learned about a few days ago on a different podcast. This is an infrared thermometer, which means you don't have to make contact with what you want to take the temperature of. There's at least two of these that I know about that talk, but between those two, in my own opinion, this one is the better. I got this machine from a website, www.brooks-technology.com, and they cost about $106, and I didn't really think I wanted to get it for that price, but I ended up talking myself into it, and it has been a pretty good outfit so far. They take two AA batteries on the back, and what I'm going to do is remove one of those batteries and put it back in, because when you put it in, it gives you a demonstration of itself.
1.11. Press any button to start introduction.
Put the cover on it, and I will press any button.
The temperature sensor is located on the end of the device near the speaker. There are three buttons located below the speaker. Temperature, scan, and mode. To read temperature, press the button closest to the speaker while pointing the device. To scan for a warm or hot object, press the second button. The beeping tone indicates the temperature. To change mode, such as Fahrenheit or Centigrade, or language, use the third button. The device will shut off after 3 minutes of inactivity. To reactivate, press the temperature button for 2 seconds. To hear this introduction again, remove and replace one of the batteries. 75.
Okay, so since we got three buttons, and that indeed we do, we got a speaker at the top, and a temperature button, and a scan button, and a mode button, which I'm not going to bother with the mode button because that would make this take too long. I am going to demonstrate scan and temperature though. Just sitting right here, at this desk, I'm going to aim it at the wall straight in front of me and hit temperature.
74. 74.
Let me try aiming it right at the ceiling.
75.
How about straight down at the desk I'm sitting at?
75.
Straight left.
74.
Straight right.
74.
Okay, so how about we try doing something that'll be more extreme? Let me get my lazy posterior out of that there chair and go over here and take a picture of some different things.
75.
Still says my window with the blind over it is 75. Let's try shooting in front of my freezer.
73.
It's a little bit cooler. Let me go in there and see what it says.
0.
0.
0.
Go up to the other shelf.
27.
29. Needs to come on pretty soon.
Minus 2.
Okay, so let's close the freezer and get down in the refrigerator. Lean over to my right. Reach down there.
37. 44.
Hit something with it.
43. 45.
Oops.
40.
Okay, let me take a step outside. And I'm not touching anything with this thing. I keep hitting stuff with it, but I'm aiming it at different objects, and it's telling me what the temperature of the actual object is, like the window in my door.
76.
Because it's a little warmer outside. I'm going to go outside and aim it at the ceiling and hit it, and then I'm going to aim it at the floor and hit it. I'm going to aim it at the wall beside my door and hit it. Let's see what it says it is out there. And having done that, let's have a little more fun. It's time to light up a 1500 watt electric heater, an Eden Pure if you care. Turn this thing around and hit the mighty power button. And let me grab the thermometer and aim it at the vent on the front of the heater.
84. 90.
By the way, if you hold the temperature button in, it'll do this.
103 degrees Fahrenheit. 115 degrees Fahrenheit. 128.
So, if you keep holding it, it'll add degrees Fahrenheit or degrees centigrade, depending on what you got set. And yes, you can make it speak Spanish and French like the manual instruction thing said. So, you can tell the fan just came on.
184. 203. 210.
Okay, so the other thing I got to demonstrate is the scan mode. So, I'm going to press the center button and hold it in. And it's just beeping once every 2.5 seconds or something. And I'm going to put this thing in front of the air coming out of the heater. I'm going to get closer to the heater. So the hotter it is, the faster it beeps.
232.
And I'll go ahead and turn the heater off because we don't need it anymore. It is 75 in here after all. And so that scan button is supposed to be used to, well, of course you can tell sort of how hot something is, but the idea is that you can use it to home in on the center of your burner on your stove or something, trying to figure out where to put the pot without actually having to get your hands close to it and feel for the heat, especially if you got like a glass top stove like we do. And if you put the pan on the burner and you've got the fire on, you can put this thing near the pan and go like in a circle around the pan or the pot, whatever. And if there's a spot where that thing is beeping faster, that would indicate that it's got more heat on one side and probably that the burner is exposed, which should indicate that you should probably move the pot or pan in that direction. With that having been said, I have found this device to be pretty accurate in my estimation. I've only got one other thermometer. It's a regular meat thermometer with a metal probe on it. You could murder somebody with that thing. It's got a real sharp tip on the end of it, and you can stick it in meat or whatever, and it'll tell you what the temperature is. But it takes it a while to adjust to what the temperature actually is, and good luck getting room temperature, because you gotta like literally wave it through the air, and it'll eventually stop changing numbers, and you can assume that that's what the room temperature is, but it takes like all of 5 minutes to get it to be accurate. And this thing here, you can just aim it at the wall and take a reading and turn around and take another reading and maybe aim at the ceiling and the floor and just kind of get the number in between, and that's what your room temperature probably is. And that's about it. If you happen to be interested in this thing, and I'm not being sponsored or anything, it's just something that I liked and wanted to demonstrate. I got it from www.brookstechnology.com, BROOKS-TECHNOLOGY. Thanks for listening.
Blind Bargains needs you. If you wish to submit a product demo, app review, tip, or something else cool, email feedback@blindbargains.com.
You might have heard me say just, I don't know, once or twice. Okay, maybe like once a show or twice a show. That the new Doctor Who is here. The new Doctor Who is coming out on Saturday the 19th. Has the new Doctor Who. And even better yet, Doctor Who Legacy. The game that I've mentioned on other podcasts that I am addicted to. A match 3 game that is very low vision friendly. Has a new update itself. They actually have a kids mode that's now available for around $3.99 and a new mode that allows you to get Sonic screwdrivers for $9.99. These are in-app purchases, and they're out there really to help the game continue. This game has been around for about 2 years. It's a part of the freemium model. There's over 100 hours of content available to you with storylines and all sorts of companions that you pick up in the meantime, all wrapped around a beautiful match three kind of game. And even better yet, they've added a color blindness mode, so if you have some trouble with red, blues, and greens, that's there. The premise of the idea of the game really comes down to this. You can play match three and put three gems together and make all sorts of really cool combos, and you have your friends there who can give you buffs to attack evil villains like the Suntarans or the Daleks. And of course, the Doctor is right there. In fact, almost all of the Doctors are there. What am I saying? All of the Doctors are there. Probably some you've never even heard of are there. All 12/13, yes, the War Doctor is there, are available for playing, and you can actually do all sorts of crazy combos. The other thing, though, is that there is the ability to have a story and so much to explore. If you haven't been playing this game, it is great in that it has white text on a black background. The menus are fairly decent to see. It shows up fairly well on a tablet, although I can play it on my Android phone as well. And you can play, just pick up and play. You know, suspend it if you need to, come back to it, stand in line, put together a couple of combos, beat down a couple of awful, terrible Zygons, and then get right back to the action later if you need to. It's available free for iOS and Android, plays fairly decently on both, available cloud saving, so you can save to iCloud or save in Google Play Games and pick up on other devices. And like I said, there are new paid things available for it, the Sonic Screwdriver set especially, allowing your characters to get to rank 6. Don't know what that means? You should actually go out and download Doctor Who Legacy and find out for yourself. Again, very low vision friendly, not voiceover compatible, and something to play along with while waiting for the new episodes to arrive for Series 9.
Here's a tip about packages. Let's face it, we're living in an online world, and because of that, we often have a lot of things delivered to our house. I know I do. Everything from groceries to laundry detergent to big, huge boxes of toilet paper. It just makes it a lot easier sometimes to have things delivered to my house instead of having to go to the store. But this also creates an interesting situation with lots of packages coming in. Sometimes I lose track of which ones are coming in which day. Well, UPS and FedEx both have services that make this a lot easier. UPS is called My Choice, and FedEx is called Delivery Manager, and we've linked to them both from our website in the show notes at blindbargains.com. What these will do is basically send you an email, a text, or sometimes call you when you have a package coming the next day. Now, that's all nice and good and makes it a little easier to track your packages, but what's even cooler about these services is the things you can do with that package email. You can schedule a package to be delivered a certain day if you're going to be home one day but not the next. You can sign for your package without actually being at home, so you can say, hey, it's okay to sign for this package and just leave it in front of my front door. Or you can have it delivered at a certain time. Now, some of these services, you have to pay a few bucks for that, but it might be worth it for you to pay $5 to have your package delivered between, say, 5 and 8 p.m., as that was offered for a recent FedEx package coming to my house. You can also often have packages left at a nearby FedEx or UPS store. There's also premium services available where you can pay an annual fee and then get some of these features for free for all of your packages. So if you have lots of stuff coming to your house, that might be a worthwhile option. Again, we've linked to FedEx Delivery Manager and UPS My Choice, which are both free services, and you can sign up for them using the link from our show notes at blindbargains.com. Send your tips to feedback@blindbargains.com.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback@blindbargains.com. Or tweet us at Blind Bargains.
Yep, I was just reminding JJ about other things. Let's see, the LG Ally, and then I moved on from the LG Ally to, well, something else before. Oh, my Droid 4. Yeah, it was LG Ally to Droid 4, and then the Galaxy S5.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to...
What? Yeah, you remember that was how it worked. We actually had Droid 4. Are you still sporting? You're not rocking the Droid 4 anymore.
Oh, no, I have
just,
an S5.
Just lying around. You just traded that in when you. Mine's in pieces, actually. in a box somewhere.
I think you're in a bit of a dream there. We're supposed to be doing this is sound off now. I think.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, right. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just really fascinated.
I know you can get a little sidetracked while the tips and everything else is playing.
That's true. We were just talking while all that was happening. That's very true. And there's a Google event at the end of the month, so we got new hardware. So this should be very, very interesting and almost as interesting as some of the information that we get from you, our very listeners. This time I'm going to feature a couple of DMs that were sent to me in Twitter. First one is from Wes Farrell, who was doing a very large catch-up all the way up to Labor Day. Well, God bless you, man. I appreciate that. Basically, he was kind of giving us an idea of what he was thinking about has happened over the time. And, that's... Okay, let's be honest. Man, I don't think I could actually run with a guide dog. I don't know that I liked running when I was in track in college and stuff, but it does require a certain set of skills. And Wes tells us about how he was at the doctor's office and he was asked about having a guide dog. I think all of us who are blind usually get that question one time or another, unless the dog is sitting right there. But it's interesting. I think it's fascinating to think that we've gone to that point. When does the dog actually want to do more running than you? And when you're not running, that dog is going to be super hyper. That's what I keep coming back to. Can we go now? Let's go. I see you're putting on your shoes. Are we going for a run? Let's go for a run. I love this idea. Let's go get some milk. You want to go get some milk? All right. Woohoo. Another DM from Frank Brown, who told me that I had mentioned that TuneIn was a real bear to use with iOS. Since that time, it has updated, and it is a lot easier to use, as Frank notes. And I actually used this on ESPN Radio the other night when listening to different people talk about various NFL teams. And he's right. It is a lot easier to use than it once did. You can flick and do a lot more. That is much better than what it had been in the past. So
are you using standard or pro?
What? Oh, no, I'm using just the standard. I haven't paid for the pro.
So he says 8.3 is more accessible. So TuneIn Radio Pro just came out with 8.3 on September 9th. Standard's a little bit, it's on a different version number, but I would assume we got the same improvements. So it sounds like if you use it on standard, then we're good to go on both accounts. Now we just need to get the Android one going again, and
yay,
we'll be good.
Instead of it giving me things that I don't want to hear about in my notification screen, which, you know, it always tells me about some tennis match that I'm not truly interested in, or a college I don't follow is now available to listen because you were in the geographical location of said college.
Yeah. Great.
Thank you, TuneIn. Thank you.
The premium thing is pretty cool, though. Lots of interaction on Twitter.
I would say you may have poked a bear once with your tweets that really caused
Uh-huh. I had made the comment, and I'm not the only one. A lot of people have commented about the 16 gig iPhone and why is there still a 16 gig iPhone. Now, to Apple's credit, in iOS 9, they have actually done a lot to make 16 gig iPhones a little more viable again. Some of this app trimming stuff. In other words, you're not going to download components for your app that don't apply to your device. So that's new. And there's some other space saving things in there as well. Yeah, and of course you can do a lot more cloud stuff. But of course, cloud takes data. But in the meantime, there's also bigger pictures and, you know, all the other music stuff and lots of, you know, more apps.
That living picture thing is twice the size of a regular picture because it takes more frames and more information. Yeah, so there's a lot.
And as I've heard and people have talked about, you know, that really that's kind of a cool accessibility thing. You could put a little audio tag on your picture to identify the picture.
But it's going
to
be a bigger picture.
Yep. My problem, and the reason I said it is inexcusable in 2015. Yeah, okay. I realize, yes, some people have to buy the 16 gig because that's the option they can afford.
Wired and some other big article people wrote stuff saying somewhat the same thing. So you were not alone in your viewpoint.
Here's the comparison to make, I think. Look, I have the same problem with Apple doing this as I do with AT vendors skimping on putting things into their current devices. I was just looking at the story that we're just trying to get some more details. The Plextalk Lineo Pocket book player is coming to the U.S. And among its features, its Wi-Fi chip is still 802.11a, b, and g. It's 2015.
Wow.
And you see that a lot, especially with assistive technology, where a new product that's coming out doesn't include a type of technology that's standard for everything else.
AC, anything beyond.
Right. Yeah. You would expect N. A lot of the AT stuff, the Blazes, don't support 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi. You know, there's a lot of examples like this. And I had the same problem when you're making a decision to save $3 or $4 on hardware to skimp on a feature, you're really doing your users a disservice, especially. And it's even worse in AT when you expect your devices to be used for the next 4 or 5 years. So that was kind of where I was going with some of that. They're going to want this for the next 2 or 3 years.
I think even Samsung, you know, kind of sort of moving, you could say one copies the other. And by the way, Samsung makes some of those chips in the new iPhone. So careful where you have to fling the mud, everyone. Samsung kind of moved away from the 16 gigs in some of their models. But it is a bit of a price gouging at times. At the same time, they're looking at it from the standpoint of getting a cheaper modeled phone in India or some other country where, you know, look what happened with the 5C and the 8 gigs in India. That was a big mess for them.
But it doesn't cost them. The difference in cost for 16 gig versus 32 is like $3. But the reason why they do it, in essence, really is, if you see a 16 gig phone, you're going to pay the $100 to get the 64. Which, if it was a 32, not as many people would do that.
That's $19.99. It sounds better at $19.99 than me telling you it's $20. And hey, it's you know a plus one. You know, it's, this one goes to 11. Well, why not just make one that goes to 11? Yeah, but this one goes one more than 10. You know, it's the Spinal Tap philosophy. I agree. I don't know that that holds water with more savvier buyers. And that's the bigger question is, are there savvy buyers, or does this new Apple buy it perpetually, get a new phone every year, kind of democratize? I don't know. That's not the phrase I want to use. Does it kind of devalue the iPhone where people just show up and get their new iPhones like in a consignment box? Here you go.
I don't know.
I mean, it kind of takes the wind out of the sails, but at the same time, Apple had to do something because they were getting pushed by the carrier. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens. And certainly 7 is probably next because it always goes, you know, 6, then the iterative, then 7, then the iterative, you know, every other year kind of philosophy. So we'll see. Although, you know, they didn't really update the iPad Air. They just updated the Mini. Nope. Anything is possible. We'll have to see.
This is the bigger Air. But of course, lots more Apple in BBQ31. And for once, Apple segues perfectly into Last Word.
Aha! No need for
some of you may have heard this clip. So the White House press briefings every day or two, the reporters come in and ask questions to the president's press secretary. The press secretary might have some competition, though, in the form of Siri. Take a listen to this.
On the Iran deal, I know you're going to disagree with this analogy in a sense, but there's an expression in sports about a team backing into the playoffs because another team lost. And with having to sustain a filibuster to avoid disapproval from Congress. Is the president upset that he couldn't get even one Republican perhaps to sign?
Sorry, I'm not sure what you want me to change.
Okay, I get it.
That was on time.
You were not serious.
Perfect timing. Perfect timing.
You can't. And the answer, too. I mean, it's not... It'd be one thing if Siri just said, you know, whatever, but the answer fits the question perfectly and everything.
I'm expecting this in the next season of House of Cards. I'm just, you know,
not much you can do there. So, but, there you go again with the keywords.
You could run away. You could run away to a concert or run far away to Burning Man. You know, you asked not too long ago, Jay, about resources and if anybody was going to Burning Man, and a couple of days later I happen to see this very tweet that says there were tactile maps for Burning Man.
So there are blind people that go. So Burning Man is this kind of counterculture festival in the middle of nowhere, Nevada, that's been going on for the past 20 or so years. And it's a huge, they create an entire city and economy for a week, and then tear the whole thing down and don't leave any trace of that they were there. It's a very unique event, I guess. Very interesting. You definitely have to have a certain mindset, I guess, to go to the thing. But if you do want to go to it now, they have Braille maps, which I find interesting, especially because you know, you pretty much go there to unplug from the world. So you really don't, like, you have no phone service there. You don't want to be wrapped up in your technology. So, right. You know, we go old school. Bring your slate.
Knowing some of the things that go on at that particular event, I don't think I've ever seen some of those words in grade one or grade two in that phraseology. So that would be interesting just to see. That would be, or feel, I guess.
We'll go next year.
I am looking very forward to your audio. Well, and that was the last we ever saw of Jason. And
they don't allow pictures, so you probably don't really want audio either.
No incriminating audio or evidence? Yeah, okay. That would be true. We would have to live through your vicarious tales the same way that some people can't sing like Taylor Swift, but they can sound a lot like other people singing Taylor Swift. Now, this is my contribution to Last Word. I posted this morning, this innocently enough. Those of you who follow me on Twitter know that I poke Ricky with songs. So there'll be a Ricky Enger morning wake-up song. And that actually goes back like 5.5 years. It has a long history to it. But suffice it to say that every once in a while, I find weird stuff to just tweet, and I'll find like 3 songs in a row. And this morning I was tweeting out the new Disturbed Sound of Silence, but I also found this wonderful cover of Taylor Swift, and it was done in the style of Disturbed. Look, I'm just doing it no justice. Take a listen. That guy nails David pretty well.
Accurate.
So I tweeted this, and all of a sudden I had like 15 modded tweets and a lot of retweets and other people talking about it. So yeah, I just fell onto these things. I fall onto weird Twitter links, YouTube links, as people know. So if you ever want to hear strange things like this, read more about Doctor Who, find out more about assistive technology news that might make it to this very podcast, you should follow me over at twitter.com/rangerstation, all one word. That's twitter.com/rangerstation.
And of course, you could email feedback at blindbargains.com and Twitter at blindbargains. And then as far as AT guys, your assistive technology experts, we're back on the road again coming up soon. So first, woo-hoo! Some local events right here in Kalamazoo at the Michigan Council of Blind and Visually Impaired Convention on Friday, September 25th. And also followed by a Michigan Parents Visual Impairment conference the week after. Then the NFV of Georgia in Atlanta, October 9 to 11.
I got invited to go there.
An event hanging out with Chancey Fleet and the people over at the New York Public Library over in New York City, October 17th. So a lot coming up.
Now you get to meet two personalities in one, not just Mr. JJ, but you get to meet the amazing Chancey, who is truly amazing once when you meet her. Promise. Totally, totally not a letdown.
Oh, yes. And it's a really, really cool event. It's a growing, this will be the second one. It's a growing tech fair. So if you live anywhere near New York and you want to see assistive technology products, it's definitely an up-and-coming event and one you check out. It's free.
And a great resource as well. So if you do live in New York, definitely check out the NYPL and see all the great folks there.
That's going to do it for now. Thank you so much to Patrick Perdue. Thanks to him for sponsoring us. Thanks to Aaron Spears for sending over a demo. And thanks to Joe for putting up with me. And
Whatever. I had to do something before I go watch football. I mean, why not this, right? No. And thank you to you wonderful listeners who sit in for all these things that we do each week, whether it be something you're interested in or whether sometimes you wait for the next car and the next show has even more than what you're listening to or what you're expecting. We appreciate it. And you let us know with all your comments. By the way, the numbers have been amazing. Can't believe all the numbers that have been coming in and all the people are going out there telling their friends about the Blind Bargains cast. Remember, you can help us out by going over to iTunes and rating us if you listen to us there. So if you subscribe, head on over to iTunes, look up Blind Bargains, and rate the podcast. That not only helps this podcast, but it helps others like Shelley's The Parallel or the Tech Doctor podcast or others in the blindness field. So we believe that a rising tide lifts all boats. So help others out by letting them know about the programs that we listen to and that you listen to as well. Thank you for listening, everyone. Until next time, see you next week.
Bye-bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2015.